Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
The 2023 season has recently ended, and we heard a lot about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. But what do they have in common with Teddy Roosevelt from 100 years ago? Timothy V. Brown of Football Archaeology joins us to tell us all about this comparison, and Tim comes up next.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pig Pen, your portal to positive football history. And it is time for some great gridiron information from yesteryear. Timothy P. Brown of FootballArchaeology.com joins us to tell us about one of his recent articles he's posted on the website. Tim, welcome to the Pig Pen.
Thank you for having me, Darren. Look forward to chatting with you tonight, as always.
Yeah, and this is a very relevant, within the last month anyway, of this article that you wrote. You had it titled Travis Taylor and Teddy Roosevelt. And I know that at least two of those names were ones that my wife and daughter, they became interested in watching at least the AFC side of the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl. Were at least one of those names was interesting. Yeah. So how do... Is that at least the Travis and the Taylor I'm thinking of and Teddy Roosevelt, how do they tie in together in this piece that you wrote?
Okay, so I'm a little surprised that you're familiar with Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. That's interesting because, you know, a lot of people wouldn't even know who they are, but you're kind of tuned in to this stuff, I guess.
Yeah, didn't Patrick Mahomes and Usher appear on their show that they had on Sunday night a few weeks ago?
I have no idea. So I mean, one of the things that just struck me is, you know, people going all Gaga, not Lady Gaga, but, you know, just people going nuts about Travis and Taylor, some, you know, angry about it for some reason or another, and others just excited because they're big Taylor fans, the Swifties. So anyways, it just, you know, just got me thinking about, okay, what are some similar kinds of situations in the past in the sports world, where somebody who is, you know, a love interest or familial interest, you know, kind of brings, who's from another field, you know, brings some kind of excitement, you know? So I was thinking about, okay, Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe, right?
That's an obvious one to think about, right?
But then I went to Teddy Roosevelt and his son, Teddy. So, you know, back in 1905, you know, President Teddy Roosevelt has this meeting with, you know, Princeton, Yale, and Harvard, and basically says, you know, you got to get your act together, get the football communities to act together. This game's too dangerous. Do something about it. And then he sends them away. And, but the interesting thing about it was, you know, I mean, Roosevelt was a big football fan. He was too late, or he's too old to have ever played the game, because it really didn't appear until the time he was out of college. But, you know, but he was a rough and tough guy. And so, you know, his oldest son, Teddy Jr., ends up at, he's a freshman at Harvard in 1905. And he had played, I think he went to Choate, but, you know, he went to an Eastern prep school and had not played much because he was a pretty, he was like 5'8" by the time he got to Harvard, but he's pretty lightly built or slightly built. So he goes out for the freshman team, you know, and it's one of those things. Yeah, the president's kid, you know, everybody's pretty doubtful about him. He's not the biggest guy in the world. It turns out that he was a pretty tough little nut. And so, you know, I mean, everything I read just said, hey, you know, people kind of came off the field. His opponents would come off and go like, you know, he's not the biggest guy, but he's pretty tough. And so anyways, you know, they play whatever, five or six game schedule. And somewhere early in the year, I think they were playing like Worcester Poly or somebody like that. You know, he apparently broke his nose in a game early in the year. And so then, you know, gets better. I don't know if he wore a nose guard or not, but the final game of the Harvard freshman season is a game against the Yale freshman. And, you know, it's a big deal. And so, in that game, and I should say that, you know, just like everything was getting documented and there were paparazzi, you know, surrounding Travis and Taylor, the same thing happened with Teddy Jr. You know, he's, you know, people are taking pictures of him everywhere he goes. There's reporters trailing him. So the kid just, you know, I mean, he's struggling to have a normal college freshman life because his dad's the president of the country. And, you know, you know, he's apparently handled all that really well too. So in the lead up to the Yale game, you know, the Yale folks are all like, hey, I want to play right end this game because Teddy was the left end for Harvard. And, you know, that was days, you're playing both ways. So it turned out that, you know, Yale didn't change their lineup, but the guy who was their Yale's right end on the freshman team was kind of the captain of the freshman. And then as a senior, he was a, you know, captain of the Yale team. So he's a real good ball player. And so he's up against Teddy the whole game. And, you know, sounds like he was kind of beating Teddy's butt, but, you know, he hung in, you know, Teddy hung in there. He made some pretty good tackles, made some good plays. But in the course of the, you know, towards, you know, somewhere like in the second half, he apparently broke his nose again and had, you know, big black eyes. And so he left the game with a few minutes left, you know, to play. And so then, you know, but it was written up, you know, this, a syndicated article shows up in, you know, newspapers nationwide. There were pictures of him in these newspapers. There were cartoons about him. And so then, you know, season ends, and then he actually started gaining a little bit of weight. And as a sophomore, he went out for the varsity, and they still tell him, no, you're too small. You know, you can't play with the big boys. So he might have played for his class team or something, but then as a junior, he goes out again. And I think, you know, sounded like he was kind of holding his own. But then he, you know, was injured during the preseason, and basically that was the end of his playing career. So the other thing that was interesting about him, you know, he was like, I think he was like president or CEO of American Express. I mean, he had a big, you know, business career. I mean, he was obviously a well-connected person, but, you know, nevertheless, he sounds like, you know, pretty stellar guy. And
A
so, you know, he,
pretty bully guy, huh?
yeah. That's yes. So he ended up when World War II, you know, came around, he had volunteered. I think he had served in World War I as well. And he anyways, he was on the, you know, he was a general, and he was on the he was in the first wave at D-Day. Was, you know, kind of, there's stories that, you know, he was inspiring guys to try to get over the sandbars and, you know, keep moving. So he was, you know, trying to coordinate a lot of that effort. And, you know, as a result of that, he was recommended for the Distinguished Service Cross. And then but he ended up dying of a heart attack 2 weeks later. And so
Oh, wow.
they ended up awarding him the Congressional Medal of Honor, instead. So they upgraded the DSC to
Well,
the Medal of Honor.
you make it through probably one of the most stressful situations in world history on D-Day, and 2 weeks
Yeah.
later, I'm sure things weren't pleasant for him then, but still, you would think the D-Day would be the really stressful part of that. Wow.
Yeah.
The irony of it.
Yeah. So anyways, everything I can tell, pretty much of a guy to be admired and
Yeah.
just tried to be as normal a person as he could, despite who his father was. So
Yeah, when you're living in that big of a shadow, that's probably a lot rougher than most normal people have ever experienced, and I'm sure it's got not a an easy thing to overcome. Very interesting. Great story. Now, it almost reminds me a little bit. I was interviewing Craig Colquitt just a little while ago, and he ended up he played for the University of Tennessee in college, and his right before his junior year, that's when Johnny Majors left Pitt, won the national championship with Dorsett, and that went to Tennessee, took over the program, and that's where he's from. And of course, and I can remember, I was a youngster then, but watching, and Lee Majors was a $6 million man at that time, and he was always on the sidelines. And of course, his wife was Farrah Fawcett; she was on her. So we talked a little bit about that. And Craig was a punter, so he wasn't, he only had to worry about a few handful of plays each game. And he told me, he goes, yeah, he goes, that was distracting. He goes, but the worst thing was on the sideline is, Johnny Majors loved to have celebrities there. He was friends with Jimmy Buffett, and Jimmy Buffett would be on the sidelines and, wearing, I forget whose jersey he was wearing. I think one of the receivers or something, that name escapes me. The guy played for the Patriots after had a great career in the NFL, but he would always wear his jersey. And he said Jimmy Buffett was always like where the special teams was, and of course the fans and everything, we get trying to look and see Farrah Fawcett and Lee Majors. I'm like, man, I can't even imagine that on a sideline today, and especially in college football. These coaches are so stoic. You would never see Nick Saban allow something like that or something like that. But
Well, it's for a while the NCAA was gonna make a move to reduce the number of people that can be on the sidelines. But when you see like the USC UCLA game, there's always that's one of the games where
right.
there's always celebs just because the location and some of their alums. So
Yeah, it's exciting enough to see like former players that played for that school show up. Joe Burrow shows up on the LSU sideline, or it's kind of cool to see that, the guys that have made it. And but yeah, when you have these Hollywood stars showing up, that's altogether different. And Taylor Swift, whole different story there. That's
it's an amazing, I mean, that whole phenomena is just amazing to me. I mean, I don't have any, I'm not a fan of hers. I don't, I'm just indifferent, right? But I obviously admire, what she's done from a career standpoint and
Right.
the influence she has. I think, I mean, good for her, right?
And I
But
think the NFL likes the extra exposure to new
us.
audiences to watch their product. So yeah, brilliant. Not fun as a traditional football fan of going to the stands after every play, but NFL for ratings, and because the NFL needs the
I mean,
money, so they got to get that.
they do it, with mothers, sisters, all the stuff. I can't think of the guy's name, the former quarterback at Notre Dame. They always had his sister and his girlfriend and yada yada. I mean, if they think there's a story there, they're gonna play it up and they do all those. Let's step away for a minute and listen to the story of, Bobby Joe Smith, right? It's like in the Olympics, they do that all the time because nobody knows who the speed skater is. But, so they step away and do the profiles and it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, it's all in the ratings. All in the ratings. Well, Tim, that was a great story, and taking us back, 100 and some years ago, and tying into some modern stories of football. So that's brilliantly done, and a great story. And I appreciate you letting us know and filling us in on Teddy Jr. a little bit, and his heroics on the football field and on the battlefield, and somebody that should be honored and remembered. And I appreciate you doing that. And you do a lot of that, where not only people being remembered and preserved, but also, you know, events and little intricacies of the gridiron on your footballarchaeology.com website. Maybe you could tell the listeners how they can partake in that and enjoy your website.
Yeah. So, you just go to the site and you can just go and browse. But the best thing to do is just subscribe. If you subscribe for free, you get access to about a third of the content. The paid subscription is $5 a month or $50 a year. And then that gives you access to everything, including all of the archives. So, and then I also post on Threads and on Twitter. So, you know, if you kind of want to monitor things that way, then have at it as well.
All right. Well, very good, Tim. We really appreciate you coming on and sharing this little bite-sized chunks of football history and, you know, over 100 year span, but different instances. And we appreciate it. And we would love to talk to you again next week about some more great football history.
Very good. Thank you, Darren.
We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, football fans, this is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.